So welcome to the Monthly Market Report. I am David Childers, and looking forward to spending the next few minutes with you to talk all about what's happening in the U.S. residential real estate market so that you can be the trusted source of advice for the clients that you serve. So we're going to hop right in. I'm going to share my screen, and we will start off with a snapshot of the market year over year and some of the key changes. So let's talk about that. A lot of noise, if you will, about a lot of different things in real estate right now. But you know, if we look at this snapshot of year over year metrics, we can see showings are up 49.5% year over year. A lot of people getting out and wanting to look at homes across the country. Purchase applications up 39%. So we're in an interesting period right now where we're going to start seeing some of these metrics shoot up year over year, because this is measuring the weeks when we first started the lockdown last year. So seeing, you know, significantly more purchase applications because nobody was applying or getting, leaving their house for that matter. If we look at pending deals, this is actually measuring February. Those down just slightly, but existing home sales and new home sales both up, knocking on the door of almost 10%. Where's the issue right now? The issue is in inventory. We know that across the country. In something that continues to plague us as an industry. But overall, if we look at some of the other metrics year over year, a very strong market as we head into the spring right now here in April. You know, the other big thing that's been going on in real estate is we're seeing a rise in interest rates. You know, the average 30-year fixed as recorded by Freddie Mac at 3.18% right now. To put that into perspective, we saw towards the end of the year, dipping down into the middle twos. This puts us back somewhere around June of last year, where we saw this rate environment start to slide down to the twos. Historically low interest rates. We talked about this 16 times last year. A new low in the average 30-year fixed, and starting to come back up, and really seeing the return of those rates creeping a little bit higher as the economy improves across the country. So, the reality is, and I think George Ratu said, sums it up very well. He says, home sellers and home buyers have gotten really used to extremely low rates. Rates even in the threes to the 3.4% range, he says here, remain extremely affordable by historic standards. Now, we've been talking about, rates are going to continue to rise as the economy improves. I do expect in the coming month that we will get estimates and forecasts for what experts are saying the remainder of this year will be for the rate environment. And I think some of those are going to be upticked. We've seen Goldman Sachs saying as high as where they're looking at the 10-year treasury, saying we could be at, 3.75% by the end of the year. Some are saying, more on the lower end of that, 3.25%. What do we know? Is it going to be at 3.75%? I don't know. I know it's probably not going to be where it's at today. And we'll continue to see interest rates rise as we go throughout the year and the economy improves. All of this low interest rates, folks running in to buy homes, has caused the inventory challenge across the country. And this is the snapshot of new listings coming into market as compared to the total listings in the country. Right now, across the country, on average, we're down about 52% year over year in the number of homes that are available on the market for those that want to buy them. Seeing listings come into market, and certainly want to see that continue to grow as we move into to a strong spring market and more people putting their homes on the market. But right now, a deficit across the country. And if we look at this map right here, we can see the majority of the country in this red, some states in this dark red, in 60 plus percent down year over year. So no doubt that low interest rates, no doubt that the pandemic, no doubt that other pressures around housing have caused this issue of low inventory. Now, experts are forecasting inventory to come back into the market in the second half of the year, and more as people get more comfortable, those that are affected by the pandemic economically and having to list their homes, builders building. But as we stand right now, the inventory situation across the country is pretty dramatic, and lack of available homes for sale. Dr. Lynn Fisher from the FHFA said this: house prices nationwide recorded the largest annual and quarterly increase in the history of the FHFA home price index. This low inventory is causing, you know, prices to spike up. She accounts it to what we just said: low mortgage rates. We've seen that pent-up demand from home buyers and a limited housing supply propelled every region of the country to experience faster growth in 2020 compared to a year ago, despite the pandemic. You know, back a year ago, John Burns Consulting, who we follow, and you're probably familiar with that, with a lot of quotes that we use, predicted the great American move, that folks would move from their homes for, you know, financial reasons, health or security reasons, just a need of something else in their home. And that certainly happened as we went through 2020 and now into 2021, and it's caused this price increase. You know, one of the questions that our research team is, you know, constantly looking at is, you know, what are some of the causes and effects of some of the situations we find in the housing market? And, you know, no doubt this lack of inventory has been caused by a number of different factors. One's very interesting here that I want to share with you, and something I would highly encourage you sharing and getting this message out there, is the single family housing units that have been completed for the last 13 years, they've been below the 50-year average. Now, if we go back in time, you see the red bars in the middle of the screen here. That's around, you know, 04, 05, 06, some of the record-setting times in our business. Four consecutive years of record-setting number of units being built. There were 3 years in this country when more than 1.5 million homes were built in 04, 05, and 06. Never happened before, never happened again. And, you know, what we know in the housing crisis is builders were very, you know, very much kind of at the center of real estate, and construction lending dried up, a lot of lending, you know, the pendulum swung on that. But following that time, builders have not been bringing to market the number of units to keep up with population growth. You know, if you look back in the 70s and 80s, more homes were built in this country back then than there are today. And this image here, you know, simply and effectively conveys that message to everyone that we serve, that we're in a deficit here, because literally, you know, the number of new units coming to market has not been there. Now, builders are building, permits are up right now. They're concerned, obviously, about rising cost in the new home market, but what we need is more builders to build more homes, to get folks that want to own a home a chance to do so. So some of the big things that are bearing in on our market right now relative to low inventory, prices rising. You know, one of the questions that's come up over and over, and I want to address this here because I think it's coming up in a lot of different places, are we seeing this, you know, cash out refinance issue? You know, I clipped a couple of titles here: cash out refis surge to their highest level since the financial crisis, house or ATM cashed out refinances spike in 2020. And all leading to this question, are we seeing a cash out refinance crisis in this country? Is something that we want to take a look at and sort of say, okay, what's true about that? What's not true about that? Like we always do, and give you the facts to be able to go out and educate the clients that you serve. So first, let's look at this. Home equity cashed out by refinances in billions. You've seen this slide before. We've isolated this past year in 2020 to the highest year in 2006. You know, $153 billion last year cashed out as cash out refinances in this country. Back then, at the height of the market, $321 billion cashed out. So nowhere near what it was back then, but yes, at the highest level since the crash. And so that part is true. But in context, you have to understand where it was back then, and we're nowhere near where it was back then relative to the amount of cash out refinances being transacted across the country. What this has caused is the amount of tappable equity that U.S. mortgage holders have has caused it to surge. You know, tappable equity is defined as the amount available for a homeowner to access before hitting a maximum 80% combined LTV, loan to value. You know, so if you own a $100,000 home, you owe $80,000 on it. That's 80% LTV. And what do we know? LTV and in equity in homes is surging right now due to the way that folks have handled their equity over the last 10 years and not accessing it. You know, back then, tappable equity was knocking on the door of $5 trillion. And where that stands today is over seven. And so, you know, this is something that we want to continue to look at. Our team's going to continue to monitor this relative to cash out refinances. But, you know, equity and tappable equity is surging in this country. You know, as we look at this, cash out refinances in 2020 were nothing like 2006. And that's where these questions come in is, okay, is it like, you know, back then? And I mentioned tappable equity there on the left side. Back then, $4.6 trillion in tappable equity in homes across the country. Whereas today, the year we've just finished up, $7.3 trillion in tappable equity. Back then in 2006, 89% of the transactions were cash out refinances. 89% of refinances were cash out refinances. Why is that? We were in an upward trending interest rate environment back in 2006 in the first half of the year. So nobody's, you know, going to be refinancing there to get a better deal for the most part. And where do we see today? Well, we've been in a downward trending interest rate environment for the last year, and 33% of the refinances were cash out refinances. You know, the total cashed out, like we mentioned, $325 billion back then, $153 billion today in 2020, representing 7% of the tappable equity back then, where today it's only 2%. So very, very different today versus back then. We'll continue to bring you these comparisons as you educate those that say, you know, I know home prices are rising. What are people doing with that equity? Are they accessing it? Are they you know, misusing equity like back in the housing crisis? Wall Street Journal came out and said this: the residential real estate market is on its biggest tear since 2006. Just before the housing bubble burst and set off a global recession, yet in nearly every meaningful way, today's market is the inverse of the previous boom. In the mid-2000s, loose mortgage lending standards enabled borrowers with poor credit histories to purchase homes beyond their means, sometimes with mortgages that require low down payments in the early years of the loan. And they go on to talk about how that froze up the credit markets across the country. And what do we know? Well, we know that today lending standards have changed. We know that, you know, in order to go and obtain financing for a home loan, you've got to qualify for financing of a home loan. You've got to demonstrate the ability to repay. It's very, very different. But, you know, no doubt the market that we're in is showing tremendous demand for homes across the country. You know, NAR came out and said this, speaking of demand, with demand for homes outpacing new listings, buyer competition continues to intensify. On average, there were four offers per home sold, closed home in February, according to NAR's latest February Realtor Confidence Index report, a monthly survey of realtors about their transactions. A year ago, there were two to three buyers for every home sold. The intense competition has led to double-digit price growth and properties selling in record time. To get back to a healthy supply level equivalent of 6 months of monthly demand, an additional 2.7 million homes should be on the market for sale. So I'm not telling you there anything you don't know already. No doubt we are seeing a surge in folks that want to buy right now, a deficit in the number of homes on the market. 2.7 million homes would make up that deficit. A lot of homes. We need more on the market right now. If you look at this graphically, 4.1 offers in February, dramatically higher than where it's been for the last several years. So seeing that, probably you say maybe there are more offers than that in the market that we're in and seeing intense, you know, action relative to bidding wars and things like that, you know, driving the price of the home up. You know, I think this starts to come down to the question that many are asking right now. Is this like the last time? Is this, you know, maybe they don't say, okay, I understand why it's not 2008 all over again, but it feels maybe like 2006. Feels like, you know, this is a market that's moving fast and one that that I want to, you know, make sure I'm making the right decisions and have some concerns about. So let's kind of break down the comparison of the two markets, maybe the time leading up to 2006, the time to today, and give you a look at that so that you can educate your clients on the differences in the two markets. So first, if we look at annual home price appreciation, no doubt we've seen home price appreciation be significant in the last year. You know, in 2020, according to CoreLogic, 9.2%. Appreciation. But if we start to compare the years surrounding, the lead up to 2006, the lead up to today, we know back then the average annual appreciation was over 10%, just the average from 2002 to 2005. And today, 2017 to 2019, the average 6.3% in annual appreciation. Big difference there. Certainly we're seeing appreciation based on the lack of supply, and I'm going to talk about supply back then in just a moment. But you know, the question is, okay, people are out there and demand is strong. What does that mean for those that are buying homes? You know, this graphic here shows default risk in the mortgage markets. Very good visual to talk about. Okay, where are lending standards today as compared to back then? You know, this yellow line, the reasonable, what I'm going to call the reasonable lending standard there. Little bit of product risk, a lot of borrower risk back then. If you look at the graphic there around 2005 and six, where today product risk has been eliminated from our business. The loan products that were in the market back then aren't around today. And, you know, borrower risk has been severely, you know, cut back as to where it was back then as well. It's harder to qualify for a home loan. So when we look at demand, we can say back then demand was inflated, whereas today demand is real as measured by those in their ability to qualify for a home loan. You know, back then, another interesting comparison, single family inventory was rising in 04, 05, 06, and 07, and prices were going up. Whereas today, the inventory has been going down and prices are going up. So when we look at economics, you know, as any the amount of any item for sale, as it goes down, there are less of it, it's gonna drive the price higher. So we're dealing with dynamics in the market back then, as the number of items in the market were rising. This, you know, homes, the price was also rising, very, very, very much defying what we would say would be economic fundamentals in the real estate market. Whereas today we can say, okay, the reason for the price growth, going back to Lynn Fisher's comment, has been in large part by extreme demand for some very real reasons, low interest rates, the pandemic, and the lack of homes on the market, and starts to make sense there. You know, Odetta Cushy says this. She says it's not just a seller's market; it's a super seller's market. This is an increasingly competitive home buying environment, and that's true across the country. You know, as we look out across, those that are in the market that are homeowners right now, what that means for them is prices rise. Home equity across the country has skyrocketed. You know, the average gain in a mortgaged home over the last year has been $26,300. You know, this number here is one that we need to get out there. The current average equity of a mortgage home is $204,000 across the country. 38.2% of homes are owned free and clear, and 16.2% is the increase in equity, totaling over $1.5 trillion. So equity surging across the country. And, you know, as we go throughout the year, expect folks to say, okay, do we want to leverage that equity to move up or to do something else with our housing and in helping people understand just how much equity they have in their home, something would probably surprise them. Many may not know that they have that much equity in their home. You know, if you look across the map here, states, you know, across the country are seeing, significant gain in home equity. This is over the past year. You know, we mentioned the average in the U.S., $26,300. California, that's $55,000. You know, take somewhere on the East Coast, North Carolina, $21,000. Significant numbers, you know, depending on where you're looking at and where you're at across the country. And that's, you know, that's really the message that we want to get out there. You know, there's so many things that we talk about in our business. I found a story from Mark Fleming at First American that I want to share with you that gives really a good analogy you can use to be able to deliver the reality of the market with low inventory. So we're selling a lot of homes. The market's very good, but inventory remains low. And it goes like this. He says, imagine a situation where I'm trying to fill up a bathtub with water, but the drain is open and the faucet is on. Think of the faucet being the flow of sales. Those are listings into the bathtub. And the drain at the bottom is the sales that have been closed and are sort of going out the other side. And at any point in time, the amount of water left in your bathtub is your inventory. So we got this bathtub, sales are coming in, sales are going out, and we measure it once a month, and that is inventory. Goes on to say, and so what happens in the housing market, we've got the faucet open at the top and we've got the drain open at the bottom. And once a month, we measure how much water is in the bathtub. Now keep this analogy going. The less open the drain is at the bottom, the more flow in the top and the more inventory or water is left at the tub at that measurement point. Turn it the other way around. If the flow in the top is slower, but the drain is wide open, the level goes down and there's less inventory. And so these are the dynamics at play. The inventory measure, as it's measured today, only measures at one point in time. Got a lot moving through the bathtub, but we're measuring it at one point in time. But what's missing is the whole pile of water that might have come into the bathtub and out the drain before you even knew it. And so there we look at measures like days on market or how fast or what the velocity of the markets are. And what's happening today in our market is the average days on market is 21 days. And a lot of homes are flowing into the top of the bathtub and flowing out the other side before we even get a chance to measure them as part of the inventory. So as we deal with this low inventory situation, I'm not saying it's not an issue across the country, it very much is, but we're selling a lot of homes. A lot of homes are moving through the bathtub there in Mark's analogy. I hope that will give you something to use as you talk to a client, possibly as you talk to somebody about the dynamics that are happening in the market today. As always, we're grateful for your investment in the monthly market report to spend the time to listen, to educate yourself so that you can go out and educate those that you serve. So we'll see you back next month. Thanks for joining.